Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I am glad and rejoicing to be with you today. Thank you for that worship. And that last one, I've never heard that last one. As I stand in awe of you, I think it is. I don't know where Nick went, but I have to get that. Theologically, sound. All the way through, and I'd really like to get that. Well, let me do a little bit. I don't know, maybe a little introduction, just so you know a little bit about me. I came here when I was to New York from Michigan when I was 25, and I was called to pastor a church in Valley Stream. I thought Valley Stream was in a valley and it had streams, but it had none of that stuff going on. I'm from the country. I'm a country boy from a farm, and I came there, and the district superintendent at that time was Jack White. If you ever been to Camp Taconic, the White Building named after Jack White. He's the one that brought me here, and he had told me after I'd been here just a couple of months, because he passed on after I was here 7 months. But he told me, you know, he said, well, if it didn't work out, that would be okay. I said, well, thank you. You know, I brought my family here from Michigan, and if it didn't work out. But 33 years later, I changed jobs. I was in that church for 33 years. And then 14 years ago, my peers, pastors, and lay people of the district voted me to be the district superintendent. I think in other kind of movements and traditions, be like a bishop, except I don't have the powers of a bishop. I'm kind of like an overseer of churches at this time. And I've been doing that for 14 years, and then June of 2018 coming up, I retire. Because if you are in the district superintendency or general or whatever, you have a mandatory retirement. But if you're a pastor, you could pastor until you're 100 if you want to. I mean, that's what it takes. So I will be retiring, and I don't know all that I will be after I retire, but I'll be able to be more than I have to do. Got that? And I'm kind of looking forward to that. I really am in many ways. I go back a long ways with the Patchogue Church. Were any of you here when Gerald Eddy was here? Anybody? Gerald? Yeah. Well, I go back further than all of you then, except one, to the Patchogue Church. And I've been especially interested in the Patchogue Church in the last 30 years? Yeah. Because I've forgiven you, but you, not you, but the former people, took my assistant pastor, which was Jerry Bonfiglio, away from us, and he was here for 30 years. By the way, I got a text from him this morning, and you think, you know, the moving of a pastor is hard on a church? It's really hard on a pastor, too. Very hard, yeah. And he texted me, and I want to get it right, so I'll read it to you. But he texted me and said, you and the Patchogue Church are on my heart this morning. And I know that to be true. So I texted him back and I said, I and the Patchogue Church have you on our hearts as well. And I think that's just as true also. And this church is in a transition, but I think it's going to be a very good transition. I really do. You see, God never leaves a vacuum, and there's never a win-loss with the Lord. It's got to be win-win. And sometimes when you're winning, you don't feel like you're winning. It feels like loss. But we trust the Lord, don't we? And this is not our church, by the way, right? No, this is the Lord's. This is what God is doing. And we get to be a part of it. And that's what excites me, the opportunity simply to be a part of what God's doing here. That's what I like about the assignment that I have now. I see God moving in so many different areas, in so many different ways. And if I know my heart, and I think I do, if I know my heart, the only thing I desire in all my life is see the hand of God in the lives of people. That's all I want. That's all I want. And I get to see it in many different settings. I met with your church board a few times, and I want to tell you, and I'm telling you the truth, if I couldn't have anything good to say about the board, I'd just go on and preach. I wouldn't say anything at all. But I met with those ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you, they're committed to the Lord, first of all. They're committed to prayer. They love each other, and they love the church. You have great leadership here. So it ought to be pretty good going through the transition. It's not going to be painless. Already you felt some of it. I was at your going away thing for Jerry and Ann, and that was bittersweet, wasn't it? Yeah. You've already felt some of that situation. But don't give up, never. And don't give in, never. Because God's got something really special in mind, I think, for this local fellowship. And we get to be a part of it. We just get to watch what God is doing, and I am grateful, so grateful for that. I want to speak to you today from a text in the Psalms, and I'll just read it. I didn't send it ahead. It's Psalm 34. And you remember in the scriptures where David was in the cave and hiding out because they were after him. They're going to get him. His life was in danger. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. And remember what he did to escape? He acted like he was insane. Yeah, he acted like he was crazy, man, and drooling and all this other stuff. And they let him go. And then he probably got his guitar out or whatever he played, and he wrote this psalm, which is really the hymnal of the Jewish church, is the Psalms of the Hebrews. And in Psalm 34, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad or rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Let's pray. So, Lord, there's only one teacher here. There's only one person that can transform our hearts and encourage us. There's only one person that we really want to hear from today, Lord, and that's you. So our ear is attuned to you. Speak to us, Lord. Give us freedom to hear what you're going to say, even if I don't say it. Speak to our hearts today, Lord, in special ways. And Jesus, we love you, and I pray in your name. Amen. David said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, or he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I'm speaking about, and I'm supposed to use this, right? Okay. Are you doing this? You want me to do it? Me? Okay. You don't know what you're asking, but all right. He said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Okay, one fear gone. Okay? All right. Your future, what I'm speaking about is freedom from fear, your future and God's faithfulness. Haven't you experienced God's faithfulness in your life? Haven't you done that? I mean, hasn't it been like a constant thing in your life? It has been with me. I mean, I've been unfaithful many times, and I don't want to show of hands, but so have you. Yeah, yeah. And God has always been faithful. He's always been faithful. And when the psalmist said, you know, I sought the Lord and he heard me or answered me and he delivered me from all my fears, I have to ask you, because I already asked myself that this morning and many times, what causes you to be afraid? There's something, by the way. There's only two motivations in life. One is love and one is fear. And you're either motivated by one or motivated by the other. And what causes you to be afraid? And you don't have, you know, we don't have to like, you know, get down on ourselves or judge ourselves if we are afraid or have fear in our lives. We all have fear. Everyone had. Jesus had fear in the garden. You know, we all have fear. That's part of being human. What causes you to be afraid and have that feeling of fear? Now, it doesn't have to be a feeling of terror. It can be just under the consciousness and just kind of with you all the time. that fearful, fearful thing. You know, it can be a small, small situation that when it comes up, it brings that fear up inside of you. Or it can be a big situation. If you have ever had a doctor call you and say, we got to check a little further on this, you know what fear's like. You do. If you've ever had anybody in your life that said to you, I don't love you anymore, you know what fear is. You know, we all have fears in our lives. Some of us have fear, and I can name you my fear, and it's getting better, by the way, folks. It was getting bad for a while, but it's getting better. My fear is, what am I going to do when I have nothing to do? Yeah. And that was a real fear in me. I've been working since I was 14 years old. You know? I had a paycheck since I was 14. Now what am I going to do? You know? And as I prayed through that and as I sought the Lord, and I'll talk about that in a minute, there's been a deliverance from that, and now there's been an anticipation of something good coming out of all that. You know, the world is filled with fear, and don't kid yourselves. Almost everything on the television and social media causes you to fear. It's designed to do that. And it works. It really does work. A survey was taken of what people fear the most. And you know what the number one fear was? You'd think it would be death. I would. But it wasn't. It's fear of the future. What's going to happen to me? I'm getting older. Some of you young people don't have to listen to this. I'm getting older. What's going to happen to me? You know? Or, you know, if you are younger and you're married and you've got that relationship going, by the way, all relationships are messy, all of them, and you're worried about maybe some of that stuff. Fear of the future. Now, why do we fear the future? Well, there are a couple of reasons. First of all, because it's unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. It's unknown. No one knows what's really, really going to happen in the future. I mean, we can transplant organs from one human being to another. We can walk on the moon. You know, we can do so many things, but we cannot say anything about what's going to happen in the future. We know almost anything about everything, except what's going to happen in the future. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are, how discerning you are. You're only guessing when you're guessing about the future. And on top of that, we fear the future because it's unknowable and it's uncontrollable. You can't control something you don't know. You can't control it. So it's all out there, the future. And we can't control what's going to happen. But we try. We actually try to control the future. And you know how we do it? By worrying. That's how we do it. We try to control the future by worry and fear, but it doesn't work. I used to like flip it on the congregation every once in a while, and I used to say, why pray when you can worry? Because a lot of people do that instead of praying. They worry about the future, what's going to happen. So we say to ourselves, and we say to everybody else, you know, many, many times, we say, be afraid. Be very afraid. God says just the opposite. God says, don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. I love you, and I have your life in my hands. Amen? That's why I love the scripture, where it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered or heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I want you to look at that scripture just for a minute. It doesn't say, I sought an answer. Does it? No. I sought the Lord. We seek a person, a living person, a person that lives in you and in me. That's who we're seeking. And a lot of times, when we are really down and out, like Job was and so on, God doesn't give. And by the way, if you read Job, God never answered one of his questions, not one of them. Read it. Because sometimes God will give you an inspiration that makes an explanation unnecessary. I just know it in the cells that God is speaking to me. So we don't seek answers all the time, but we do seek the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me. There's an action that he did from all my fears. So let's look at some facts about the future. What does the Bible say about your future, my future, our future? First of all, the Bible says God knows everything that's going to happen. God knows everything that is going to happen. You see, God is not confined in time. We are. God is not confined in time. He is before time and also beyond time, but in time, but he's above time. That's pretty confusing, isn't it? Gets you a little crazy, right? But that's the truth. By the way, this is the mystery of God. He knows everything in all of history, and he sees everything, all of history, all at once. God is in the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. I'm going to try to explain it, and if I see a lot of blank stares, I'm going to the next point, all right? Okay. I just want to say to you, the future is not unknown to God. It's unknown to you and to me, but it's not unknown to God. And it's not easy for us to grasp. So maybe an illustration. A few years ago, my kids said to me, I have 4 kids and 10 grandkids. My kids said to me, Dad, you want to go to the Thanksgiving Day parade? I said, no. They said, come on, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I said, there's going to be millions of people there, you know? No. So we went anyway, and there's a guy in the church there that said, you know, I know a really good place to go, and it's right across the park, and there's a little hill there, and you can sit on that little slope, and you can watch a parade go by. And he was right. It's a very good place. I went, and it's a very good place. And we sent there, and as we were watching the parade come, we would see a band come and go. And we'd see, you know, a float come and go. And we saw all of that. But we didn't see where they came from. Couldn't see it. And we couldn't see where they went. Couldn't see that either. We could only see this much of the space. So, God knows everything that's going to happen because he's already in the future. Now, if you got up in a blimp, and you look down on everything, you could see the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's how God knows and is above time. So God knows everything that's going to happen. This means that God is never surprised by things that happen to us. Never. You know, it wasn't like when Pastor Jerry said, you know, I'm going to retire. And he said it to you. It's not as if God said, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. No. He's never surprised at anything that happens, and sometimes that causes me problems. Sometimes that causes me problems because I know that God's never surprised, and some bad things have happened. And I say, God, what's going on? By the way, you can talk to God better and more intimately than you can your closest friend. God's got big shoulders. Something happened to me in my life one time, and I said, God's angry. I said, God, you ambush me. You ambush me. I was angry. You knew this was going to happen. And then about 10 years later, I realized why it had to happen and why it had to hurt. God knew better than me. So God knows, and he's never surprised. And once you know how much God loves you, and once you know how much God cares for you, you know, you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to fear anything. It takes practice, by the way, not to be afraid. It really does. God knows everything that's going to happen. The Bible says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. So God knows everything that's going to happen. Then God also knows and has a plan for my future. Listen, I'm not going to keep looking back. If it's bad, wave your hand and I'll flick it, all right? I told you, you were asking a lot. God has a plan for my future. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, God has thought a lot about you. God loves you, and He made you just like you are. You could have been born in a different country with different parents. You could have been born, you know, taller, shorter, thinner, fatter. You know, there's a lot of things that you had no control over. God didn't want you other than you are. God wants you just like you are, just exactly. And that's why He made you that way. And He has a plan for you. You are no accident. By the will of God, you are alive. He thought a lot about you. And He's choosing you right now. If you take another breath, every time you do that, God is choosing you again and again and again and again. Because, you know, He could cut the breath off, right? Yeah. So if you're alive, God's still got something for you to do. No matter what. He has a plan for your life. And the plans are prosperity, hope, and a future, no matter who you are. Now, I'm going to say just a word about prosperity, and I'll move on. In the Bible, when it talks about prosperity, it doesn't talk about having a lot of money and things. That's not what it's talking about. When God says, I want to prosper you, it means, prosperity means I have more than I need. Now, I don't know you folks at all, but I probably would be pretty safe in saying every one of us have more than we need. Yeah, we all prosper here. Are you kidding me? You know, so that's part of prosperity that God, you know, I want you to prosper. God wants us to prosper in every way, shape, and form. He wants to give us hope and a future. Now, got a plan for you. Can you miss God's plan for you? That's a hard question. That's a hard question because the one who can create something out of nothing certainly can adjust for your life if you make mistakes, right? God can do that. All things work together for the good. Those who love God, okay. What is included in all things? All things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All included. I don't know how God turns it all around, but I'm not God. God knows how to do that. He has a plan for your life. And you can make so many decisions that aren't good, and God will still try to bring you back in the minute you step back in. That prosperity, hope, and a future kicks in. Every time it kicks in. So, God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. One other thing I want to say about this is God will be with me every step of the way. That's why I don't have to worry about my future. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I've been walking with the Lord since I was 24, 23 years old. And I have never, ever, ever had a time in my life that God was never really powerfully with me. When I left Michigan, I left dozens and dozens and dozens of relatives. I had grandparents, parents, in-laws, uncles, aunts, cousins, all of that stuff. I don't know. I tried to count them up one time. I couldn't count up how many I had. I have six left. Six. They're all gone. How do you get through something like that? I don't really know except God has been with me. That's all I know. I know that God has been with me, and in the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst, there seemed to be a presence that filled me with strength, even in my grief, with strength. God said, never, ever will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And I want to say to the Patriarch Church of the Nazarene, never will God leave you, and never will he forsake you, ever, ever. And if you hold on to that, if you hold on to that, you get the joy of saying, I told you so. I told you God was going to do it, and God is going to do it. No doubt about it. God will be with me every step of the way. God's love for you is unconditional and eternal. No one could love you like God loves you. No one. I read one place when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created all the animals and all the birds and the fish and all of that, as he was creating, he was doing it with a smile. You know what it feels like to create, don't you? Yeah, you're very creative people. In one way or another, you're creative, and you enjoy your creativity. But it also said when God created man, that is, when he created you, he began with a kiss. God kisses you. Every morning, you put your feet on the floor, and you can sense the kiss of God in your life. Never, ever will I leave you, no matter what you do. And you can say, what if I make bad choices? He said, never will I leave you. He said, you know, what if I sin with my eyes wide? I know what's before me, and I know I shouldn't do it, and I do it anyway. He'll never leave you. The Bible says that. What if I commit a crime? What if I break the law? What if I fail as a parent? God will never leave you. Or as a spouse, God will never leave you. God will never. What if I lose my faith and I'm faithless? The Bible says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Isn't that something? God cannot be not God. And God is faithful. It's impossible for God to be unfaithful to you. So if anybody asks you, you know, is there anything God can't do? You say, yes, God can't be unfaithful to me. He just can't. He cannot disown himself, or he cannot be who he's not, and he's faithful. So there's a lot of implications, you know, why you don't have to be afraid of the future. He knows everything's going to happen. He's got a plan for you. And he'll be with you no matter what. No matter what. I'm going to look at a few promises. I promise to be quick. All right? Promises for our future. He will guide me when I'm confused. Anybody ever been confused except besides me? A lot of times you just don't know what to do. You don't know what decision to make or how to go and so on. By the way, when you're confused, just practice one thing. When you're confused, just practice love in the next step. Just do something loving, even if you're confused. Because if you're doing something loving, you know, things are going to clear up really quickly. But the Bible says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember, the Lord is everything, in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. So the promise is that God will guide me when I'm confused. You can bet on it. He will support me when I'm overwhelmed. If you've not been overwhelmed in your life yet, you will be. You will be. It's just part of life, right? By the way, this is earth. This is not heaven. Right? And so, When I am overwhelmed, he said, I will support you. This is a great scripture. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. For I am the Lord, your God. God will never put anything on you that it won't put something in you to hold up. He's faithful. And you say, well, I feel pretty weak this morning or something. Well, you don't need that then. You don't need that strength. But if you need the strength, it'll be there. Never a moment early, never a moment late. God will be there when you need him. 365 times in the Bible, you've heard this, you're going to hear it again. It says, don't be afraid. 365 times in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. So when you get up, put your feet on the floor, don't be afraid. Just say, I'm not going to be afraid today, for my God is with me. One more promise. He will reward me when I'm faithful to him. That's why I want you to really be faithful to this community of faith. You know, you're without a lead shepherd, so to speak, but you're not without shepherds. You got some really good shepherds here, you know? And you have lay shepherds, and you have people in the ministry, Pastor Nick and Pastor John, but you have Joe, I can't name all of them, but you have some really good shepherds here, but they're okay. But you've got the chief shepherd with you all the time. That's Jesus Christ. And when you are faithful to him, and I want you to be really faithful to this community of faith, and what I mean by that, I just mean pray for each other, love each other. You're doing it anyway, but I'm just going to encourage you to do it more and more and more. When you do the right thing, when you try to live like Jesus, when you're honest, when you're generous, compassionate, and all of that, when you do something stupid, and you will, be quick to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Every one of us. I'm telling you that this Christian walk is three steps forward and two back. All the time. And if it's not, don't tell me, because that's my experience. I win a battle, then I lose a couple battles. Then I win a battle, and so on. Just never give up. But when you're faithful, you know, God sees not all that you do. He sees who you are inside. He sees what you want to do. And he's not looking inside of you to find something wrong. That's not God. That's what we do with each other. Right? God, when he looks inside of you, he's looking for something that says yes. Yes. Everything in him is yea and amen. That's our Lord. So when you're faithful, you know, he sees it all. And when he sees it all, he rewards you. And he's been rewarding you over and over and over again. I mean, you can't sing like you people sang a little while ago if you hadn't been already rewarded by God. And you're singing praises to him. This last scripture, God is not unfair. He will not forget all that you have done, nor the loving labor which you have shown for his sake. You got that, guys? He'll not forget. God knows everything that's going to happen. God has a plan for you and for the future. And God will be with you no matter what. Now, isn't it hard not to love a God like that? I'm surprised by living. I'm alive. I'm surprised by life. I'm trying to see God in all things. You know? And I'm thrilled that God would have given us the things that he has given us in life. And it's hard not to pray. It's hard not to praise him, because he's such a good, good God. Trust him, would you? Trust him? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you brought into this sanctuary with you. I don't know your hurts, your pains, your failure, your mistakes, your hopes, your desires. I don't know that. God knows it all. And he loves you. So let's bow our heads. And let me pray, and I think I'll just turn it back over to Pastor Nick when I'm done. So let's just pray to God, okay? And I want to ask you, can you do that? Can you say in your heart, Lord, I trust you with my future. Lord, I trust you with my life. I'm going to pray, and if anything that I pray resonates with your heart, just say in your quietly inside, "Me too, Lord. That's what I want. Me too." Father God, thank you for my life. Thank you that I am no accident, but that you, from the beginning of time, wanted me to be alive here and now. You planned me, Lord. So if you plan for me and your plans are good, plans not to harm me, but to give me hope in the future, Lord, I think I can trust you. And I want to trust you more and more. In the little things, in the tiny things, in the insignificant things, so that I practice trusting you in the big things. Lord, give me the courage and the strength to make me equal to anything that happens in my life. Give me the courage and the strength to keep on trusting you and loving those that are in my life. Lord, take away my fear and fill me with faith, I pray. Jesus, we love you. And Jesus, we pray in and through you, in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.